Blog Talk Radio.
They don't talk about Jesus.
Grateful greetings to you from a special place in the eyes of the Lord. I'm a joint heir to the throne of grace because of what Jesus did. And I'm grateful to be here tonight as an ambassador of Christ here serving with PGN, serving God, serving my brothers and sisters. We're grateful, and I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I'm your other host, Tanisha. And today is, what is today's date? I don't even know. Today's the
13th.
Yeah, it's March 13th, 2024, 7:11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you for tuning in to PGN. We are grateful for you to be here, and we are excited to be here.
Always. Always excited. Good to have my lovely wife right here with me. And always grateful that she's here. Well, let's get into it. Lord, we thank you for today, Father God. We thank you for this moment, these opportunities to share, these opportunities just to be alive. We welcome the Holy Spirit to come in and move graciously. To come in and to sup with us. We open ourselves to the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, to be pleasing in the eyes of God with our measure of faith. And we thank you for the increase of our faith. We thank you for the increase of our understanding, Lord. We thank you for the increase of knowledge. We thank you for the increase of finances. We thank you for the increase of freedom, of time. We thank you for the increase in fearlessness,
mm-hmm.
in truly understanding whose we are and who we are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings that you have given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Grateful to be here. It's giving time. Don't go to your pocketbooks. I'm just saying it's giving time. And what I mean by that is it's time for us to really take on the posture of giving. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And as we give, men will give unto our bosom, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Blessings are here. Opportunities are here. Wisdom is here. Just look for God to seriously overwhelm you, overwhelm us in this time of us really acknowledging who he is and just standing on what he has established. Could you check that one more time? Just make sure.
Okay.
And just to for us to establish what God has set forth. It's our job to live out the Father's will here in the earth. When Jesus walked this earth, he said that he is about his Father's business. And him being about his Father's business meant that he was getting his instructions from the Lord and communicating with the Lord and being obedient to what God was telling him to do. And Jesus was the major example that was set before us to show us God's true love, because none of us could do it. No one else could do it. Even if we volunteered. Why? Because we're not worthy. We are not worthy. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for understanding, Lord. Just thank you for for just opening us up to this new time that we're in. And I'm really believing God to really share with us as believers more insight on who we are and why we are doing what we're doing, like why we are here for this time.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to realize this, whether you acknowledge it or not, you are here on purpose. During this time, you are here on purpose to witness everything that's about to go down. everything. God put us here to usher people in, to share the gospel. So I look at it during this time, the true believers definitely are not the scared ones. The true believers are definitely not the ones to be messed with during this time. And I say it in all sincerity. I say it in all honesty and truth, because we are not to be messed with. The Bible clearly says to not touch his anointed and do his prophets no harm. So I know what the word says, and this is how we able to walk in authority, because we know what our benefit package is. We know what we have been ordained and called to do during this time. A lot of us have been going back and forth with ourselves trying to figure things out. When we're in a time where we just have to hear and go do. The figuring out has already been done. You just have to be in position to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can give you what you need. And you can be, and you can start doing amazing things. Amazing things. You ain't got to go to school. I'm not saying school is bad, but what I'm saying, what God is doing for the believers, it is not what we would consider the norm. There are things that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you that it took people 20 and 30 years to understand, 30 years to accomplish, to get right. But the Holy Spirit is going to show you quickly. He's doing a quick work during this season, and I truly believe that. And as a scripture I was reading, John 15, I preached this earlier, but this is definitely the word for me that I'm going to give to you all that God has shared with me. John 15, I'm going to start, let's see, verse 4, and I'm going to read, and I'll stop when I stop. Okay, in John 15, it says, Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you, just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith, unless you remain in me. Producing evidence of your faith. Wow. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. I'm going to stop there. John 15, 4 and 5. So, of course, I went further, but we're going to just share what the Holy Spirit wants right now. He says to remain in him. So it's not I met Jesus when I was 5. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 5 at church. And then I left and did my own thing when I got a certain age and this, that, and other, because I was just doing what my mama told me. There are a lot of people who believe that they have a relationship with Christ based on their membership to a biblical institution. Let me say that. And they haven't remained in Christ. It's not about remaining at the building, because there's a lot of people at the building that's not in Christ. Because how do I know that? Okay, he says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. So you see people living their lives, and they're walking around and you're not seeing any fruit, but they belong to this church and they, you know, they talk about it, but you don't see no fruit. You don't see any evidence of their faith in Jesus. You'll see evidence of their faith in the world. You'll see evidence of their faith in lies and deceit and manipulation. You'll see that. But when you're in Christ, you'll produce fruit. You'll have evidence of faith. And it said it will not happen unless you remain in him. Like, it's not just meeting Jesus or hearing about him and saying, yep, I believe, and move on. No, it's a continuation because Jesus is alive. See, a lot of people have it mistaken and just thinking just the Bible is just the storybook. You know, these were real people living real lives, serving a real God that is still alive, that cannot die, period. And so it's current spiritually. It might be past tense in nature, but it's current spiritually because the same spirit that moved then is present now. Because God is everywhere at the same time. God is outside of time. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God. So the presence, when you open yourself up to the Spirit of God, you allow him to come in. And you begin to reap the benefits of allowing Jesus in your life and in your everyday walk. I mean, period. Like it's not a, okay, I'll pick you up tomorrow, Jesus, you know, or all right, it was good hanging with you today. I'll see you next week. It's not that. He says he is the vine and we are the branches. We have to really understand like our position and our role. The world would teach us, you know, that I heard people talk about that they're God and that they're all kind of different things. And I'd be like, wow. And I understand how they get caught up because they're ignorant. They're ignorant, rebellious, whatever the case may be. But Jesus says he's the vine and we are the branches. When you know that, he said, the ones who remain in me and I in him bears much fruit. He didn't just say fruit. He said much fruit. And then if you are apart from him, he says you can do nothing. Nothing. So the Lord was dealing with me today about giving. Not that I'm not a giver. But he was stressing the importance of us as a body and how we need to be. We really need to learn to give. And it's just not finances. We need to really take on the posture of being a giver and understanding that a giver has no lack. Yeah, man, come on. You don't lack as a giver. God always provides. Always. That's just what he does because when you remain in him, you're going to bear much fruit. Much fruit. And that's what we want. We want much fruit. And so as a believer, you understand and we know what's what. You ain't got to sit up here and try to make sense of things or try to create something in your head to justify some. The word is what it is. And the fruit, man, can come in many forms of knowledge and wisdom, understanding, finances, health, relationships, whatever the case may be. Whatever it is, it's whatever it is, it's much of it. But it's all about staying with Jesus. And moving into these days that we're in, I can't stress that anymore. To get in Christ and stay there. I'm not saying get in church. Get into Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to a place of believers, a body of believers outside of PGN or what have you, you know, a local body or this, that, another, go. But do what the Holy Spirit says. Mm-hmm. Don't do what you have been used to doing. Don't be disobedient to Christ out of habit, out of tradition, out of pleasing mama, out of pleasing daddy. Don't do that. Get into Jesus. Because when you get into him, he's going to get into you and everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to see it. Because I'm telling you, when you're walking with Jesus, man, I ain't gonna say it's a lonely life, but it appears to be that way when you start seeing people scatter. But you understand what it is because the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you why. Because people can't be around you if they don't have the right spirit in them. They ain't gonna wanna be around you. A liar sure ain't going to want to be around somebody that stresses the truth and calls them out on them. They're going to find somebody else to go lie to so that they can feed. Lies need to be fed. Liars need to be fed. They need somebody to believe that lie. They need to be fed. And so, tonight, really understand and really, 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 really get what Jesus is saying here. You can do nothing without him. That's it. Pastors are going to have to understand that it's not about the game plan. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the gimmicks. Because I hear so many talking about, you know, church ministries always talking about, well, we need to go out and draw people.
Or engagement on social media.
Yeah, social media too. And so here it is. God is saying it's about Jesus. It's been about him. He said, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. You need to hear him. Hear him. Follow him. Listen to him. Do what he says to do if you want to live. Think about this. If you want to live, man, you need to do this. But if you want to die, continue on. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
So, pastors ain't got to put on these shows. Because if you remain in him, and he in you, you'll bear much fruit. When you lift up Jesus, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. People supposed to be gathering at the church buildings, at the buildings where the church gathers. Come on, somebody. I'm teaching tonight. In the building where the church gathers, Jesus is still supposed to be the center.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is supposed to have free reign to do whatever he wants to do in that place. You ain't got to beg people to come. You ain't got to beg nobody to tithe. You don't have to beg nobody to give. You ain't got to sell no chicken dinners, no fish plates. You ain't got to have car washes. Not for profit. If you want to give away some fish plates, give it away. If you want to fry out some chicken, go ahead and give it. For all my non-meat eaters out there, if they want to have a cheese garden, a cracker garden, I don't care what it is, give it away. Because you cannot beat God giving. Mm-hmm. No one can outgive God. No one can outthink God. Nobody can outwise God. I don't care how many managers you get and they brainstorm to come up with this immaculate plan to do a particular thing, because truth, the Bible is true. He said, what a man sets his mind to, that thing he will accomplish. Yep. He knows that. That's why your mind needs to be on him. Because when you are focused on the things of God, he's telling you, you will accomplish them. There is no failure in God. Your faith might be an issue, but it ain't him. Somebody say, get your faith up.
Get your faith up.
Come on, somebody.
That's why it's so important, like you said, to figure out. People are always trying to figure out what they're supposed to do with their life. Ask God. What am I here for?
What am I here for?
What did? Because you gave me the life. So what did you have in mind for me when you gave me life? And then when you set your mind on that and God, you're going to accomplish it. One, because you're in the perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're doing what it is he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your mind focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, what you set your mind to, that shall you accomplish. Because mm-hmm. some people set their mind on being stupid. Some people set their mind on acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Some people set their mind on causing chaos or being a mess.
Yeah, absolutely. And they accomplish it.
That. Come on. They accomplish it.
Absolutely.
Because your mind is on the wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But why not put your mind on mm-hmm. the things that God has his mind on concerning you
mm-hmm.
and accomplish that?
Because mm-hmm.
he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I got some. When you said that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. If, because God puts things in the earth for us to, whether it is what the scripture says, rains on the just as well as the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
So there are principles that are in place that is just going to work, period. Whether you're righteous or unrighteous,
right.
It's just going to work. And so, so many believers, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. He says so many people that claim to be believers are not believing in me. Therefore, they don't get the results or the benefits from me. They are too busy focusing on what the world is doing and allowing the world to be the standard.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, that's what they get. That's why there is like no satisfaction when it comes down to chasing after the things of the world. You always got to get more. Jesus said, man, if you're thirsty, come drink of me. You'll never thirst again. Oh. Hear me. You talking about removing my thirst? I ain't got to re-up on no water. I don't have to re-up on joy. I don't have to re-up on peace.
Mm-hmm.
Love, long suffering. I don't have to re-up on it because this is what you give me through the Holy Spirit when I receive you and I begin to walk it out. We have to trust God. We have to understand who Jesus is. We have to allow him to come in and lead and guide us because we are blind without him. He says you can do nothing. So if you're claiming to be a believer but wonder why you're not getting believers' benefits, it's probably because you're not believing like you should.
Mm-hmm.
You're not believing the way God wants you to believe and in who you need to be believing in. Some of y'all have knowledge of Christ. A lot of us have knowledge of God. Knowledge of Christ. But everybody ain't tried.
I knew a person who was a believer. Mm-hmm. And I said, they ain't believing correctly. This is just an example. They're trying to get a house. So based on the world system, you have to have a certain amount of money, yeah, credit, all this kind of stuff. So they said they were believing God, but yet they were putting all their action
right
into the world system. Right?
Right.
Because faith without works is dead.
Right.
So where there's faith, there's going to be a work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you have faith in the good or the bad. You're mm-hmm. going to see an action
mm-hmm.
that comes along. It's like a combo pack. Mm-hmm. If somebody got faith in something, action follows that faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to the things of God, if you say you have faith in the things of God and there's no work, he's telling you that's dead. So mm-hmm. it means if it's dead, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So they were saying they were trusting God, believing in God, but then when the system started telling them, oh, you need this, that, and the other, mm-hmm. instead of going to God, they started doing what the system told them to do and had them jump through all sorts of hoops and barely got the house, having to scheme and scam
right.
to get the house, and they said, oh, I'm so grateful to God.
You did all that?
But you did literally things that were scheming and scamming.
Right.
But then you're going to try to put that off on God?
No.
Now, your faith wasn't in the right thing.
No, not at all.
You wasn't believing correctly because when they came at you on some other stuff, if you really felt led by God to get this house, God, what do we do? But mm-hmm. I'm not going to scheme and scam and do things that I'm not supposed to do mm-hmm. in the name of, well, because God wants me to have it. See, a lot of people get caught up in that.
Yes.
They claim, oh, God wants me to have this, and then when some adversity comes or a roadblock or something, you know, some hindrance, they start to partake in illegal things
mm-hmm.
or things that are displeasing to God, and in the name of, well, I only did that because I knew God wanted me to have it in the first place. Right. Now, your faith ain't in the right thing.
Right.
Because if you have faith in God, then God is going to provide you a righteous way to overcome that obstacle.
A righteous way.
God is never going to tell you to lie, scheme, and scam.
No.
To get something that he has for you. That don't even make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you got to have your faith. Where is your faith for real?
Mm-hmm.
What are you really believing?
Right.
Are you believing it? Oh, I believe God's going to give me this. But the only reason why you believe in God is going to give you that is because you checked all the boxes that the world says to check mm-hmm. to get that. Like, you got to check yourself.
Absolutely.
You got to really, like, as believers, we got to stop like operating like the world, and we got to be honest. See, the world likes to just pretend,
yes.
and they like to act like things are okay when things are falling apart. They like to put on airs. They want to put on masks, mm-hmm. and we're in this, right? Just like if I ask you right now, how you doing? 99.9% of y'all are going to say fine, without even thinking about it, because you've been conditioned to make things look like they're okay, even when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the world operates. And so a lot of times that we start operating like that even in our day-to-day lives and trying and mislabeling it as belief or faith.
Right.
But really, we are just going through the motions and acting like the world acts and following after their ways and calling it faith in God and belief. But then the minute a monkey wrench, you know, comes, we're falling apart, sliding mm-hmm. down walls. So we can't operate like that. We have to be honest. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Absolutely.
And only the truth will make you free.
Come on.
He says he's the way, the truth, and the life. So that means everything is tied into Jesus, right? If he is the way, the truth, and the life, if whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and if only the truth makes you free, and he's saying he is truth, this means that everything about freedom is wrapped up in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that we operate has to be wrapped up in him examining us
mm-hmm.
and us being honest about things, or we're going to get caught up. We're going to create a snare for ourselves that we can't get out of, and we're going to have to call out to him like when Peter started sinking in that water. And he said, why did Peter sink? It was a lack of faith.
Absolutely.
That's what we start to do. We start to sink because our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We lack in the faith, but we try to claim things as faith that are not faith. But we need to be honest. If you don't really have the faith for it, if God told you something you ain't got the faith for, tell him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a substance. That means you can get more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So say, Lord, I hear you, and I believe that. I just right now don't have the faith for that.
Mm-mm.
And let him build your faith
right.
to the level that it needs to be. But this walking in lies, mm-hmm. it's madness. It's not getting you anything. Because, again, there's principles that are in this earth that it don't matter if you say serving God or not serving God, that are going to,
right,
they're going to work. And a lot of the world has tapped into it. That's why they have these secular books about the law of attraction and all this other kind of stuff. They have tapped into these laws and they are benefiting from the laws. So even though they're the source of what they're saying, how this stuff works is false, they're making it up. You know, crystal in the sky, because it was at the stroke of midnight. And then if you believe, they start making things up, but the principle is true.
Mm-hmm.
Just not the source, because they're not giving God the credit.
Mm-hmm.
But we as believers, this is for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even benefit from it, but the, we letting the world benefit from it? For, come on.
Mm-hmm.
How much more should we be benefiting from it when we serve the one who put it in place in the first place? And he already told us he died to give us life and life more abundantly. And to touch what you said about the thirst thing, when you say when you drink of him, you'll never thirst again. Now, the world and the world are always in direct competition. They're always in, they're opposite of one another.
Mm-hmm.
But the word is going to always win.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus says, if you drink of him, you'll never thirst again. That means if you drink of the world, you will remain thirsty.
Right.
You'll be parched. You'll be you'll be dehydrated.
You remember that.
You're going to get a sip, and maybe for that moment, you're refreshed. But if you're dehydrated and you have a sip of water, while you're drinking that sip, it feels good. But if you're dehydrated, pretty soon you're going to feel the effects of dehydration pretty soon after that sip.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get another sip and another one. It's insatiable. So we have to do things through Christ. We have to start separating how the world operates and how we operate. We need to come up out of the world, because a lot of us are in this vicious cycle because we are doing it according to the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're not drinking of God. We're drinking of systems that will not satisfy that thirst. Again, it's momentarily, maybe for now, and then now you're thirsty again.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're searching for water. Now you're searching for Powerade. Now you're searching for some electrolytes. Now you're searching for any, and then pretty soon you'll start to drink anything.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's dehydrated and they're really thirsty. You could give them anything that's liquid and they're going to likely drink it because they're desperate. When you're dehydrated, it produces a desperation to quench the thirst.
Mm.
And I could first, maybe I give you some water, then I give you any old thing, you drink it, and then I give you lemonade. And even though I got the sugar and all that, you drink it, and I give you, you don't know what you're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to give you something, just a little bit of poison in it, just a little bit. Now you get sick from the water, but you're still drinking it because that's all you got. So we got to, like, get out of that, because that's what the world is going to do. First, the world is going to give you some water. Then it's going to give you some poison.
Mm-hmm.
And your dehydrated tail ain't going to know the difference between one or the other because you're so thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Come out, believers. Come out of the world. Come out of their way of thinking. Come out of their way of doing. And trust God and what he says. And quit scheming and scamming and doing janky stuff in the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even make any sense. But so many believers do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did this because... No, you did that because you lack faith.
Mm-hmm.
You did that because you thought you were going to lose. You did that because you saw whatever opportunity slipping through your fingers and you got desperate.
Mm-hmm. You got it in your feelings.
Yeah, be honest about it. Like, you know what, Lord? I made a bad move here out of desperation or out of tiredness or out of wanting it to be over or wanting to win. Or whatever the case may be, again, come with the truth. That's what's going to make you free. You sitting there lying to the Lord, that don't even make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the reason.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come to terms with it so that you don't repeat that same mistake, or and you can use that example to help the next person when you see them teetering on that same mistake.
Because definitely, you know, us being born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we have to break ourselves of habits.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our habits are traditions. It's family things, cultural things, city things, block, you know, school things. You think about how many of us have gone to college and have gotten be a part of things, like fraternities and sororities, and none of that is honoring God. I'm just saying it. I'm just going to put it out there. But yet still, we're part of it, traditionally.
Mm-hmm. You know how many people get into masonry because their dad or grandfather was in masonry and they have no idea the demonic background?
Yeah. And so it's like, that's why I understand when Jesus, how he empathized, you know, with everybody. Say, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones that don't know, you still going to perish for the lack of knowledge. But to the ones that do know, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to push as believers. It's our job to continue to be the mouthpiece for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally ambassadors for him. And so we have the word. That's all. This is all we need is the word,
mm-hmm.
and faith in it. Because the faith is the activator of this word. Because he says, without it, it's impossible to please him. So don't you think when you please in God, you move in him? Because I know when I'm pleased, I gets to move. I gets to doing things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do things for the people that I'm pleased with. My children can have whatever it is that God allows me to give them. Especially if I'm pleased. If I'm pleased with your grades, I'm pleased with your attitude. I'm pleased with how you're moving and how you're growing. You can ask me anything within the law, you know, anything within the will. and here it is. It'll be yours. I'm gonna make it happen. So if here I am, a mortal man, that'll move like that and think like that, I know God is doing it on a greater level, because he'll exceed all of our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so trust, we have to really trust in God, allow Christ to shine. Like we are here to share the gospel of Jesus. We are here to make sure that we present people the opportunity to be saved. To be saved. And that's why Jesus came. You don't have to worry about nothing, guys. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to wonder, God already did all that, man. I don't care what has happened to you in your life, any traumas, what people have done to you, whether it's been you've been molested, raped, robbed, beaten, bruised, manipulated, spit on, kicked, left for dead. I don't care if you got a disease. Think about the only thing that it could come against is your flesh. You feel it there. You deal with it there. But Jesus gave his life for all of that. He bore all the sins of this world. And so there are some terrible things that has happened to us that we have bottled up that anger from it, that hurt from it, that fear from it. And Satan has used that as a door to get in to justify your actions, to justify your thinking, to justify the way you're moving. And by the Spirit of God, I declare you to be released from that tonight, to turn it all over to the Lord, because Jesus, he gave his life for it and it was nailed to the cross. When he took on the sins of this world, that's exactly what it is. Whatever sin it is, he bore it. When when he was being bruised and beaten, the father said, man, look, say it pleased him that they bruised him. Why? It's the flesh. You see what he did to the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Strung their flesh up. See, the thing is, we really be thinking this body is us. See, that's the trick of the enemy to get you thinking what you looking at is who you are.
Right.
But who you are is internal. And God is the creator of all things eternal. Satan can't create nothing eternal. But unless you know that and put your faith on it, we got to practice this now. Because there's a lot of us, it's not going to just come overnight, of course, but you got to start practicing the word of God. You got to implement it. You got to execute. What you have implemented. If you implement your faith, your belief in the word of God, you execute it by working it. How do we do that? Well, the Bible says that that all things work together for the good of them that are the called according to his purpose. Right? So if I take this scripture and I read it, say all things work together for the good. If I just stop right there, all things work together. Let me put my faith on all things working together first. Let me get that in my spirit. Let me allow that not only to enter my eyes to see, let me read it, let me hear it and enter it into my ears and consistently say it, because my faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I got to get the word of God in me. I got to hear the word of God in order to increase my faith and have my faith in it. So we can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and like my father says, a Randy and a bad Negro. I don't care what you do. I ain't going to bow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to chop your head off. So what? I'm going to be with the Lord. If he wants me to be here and stay here and continue to do some work, man, I'm cool with it. If you're ready for me to go right now, I'm cool with it. But it's not because of what you are doing.
Right.
No man can take my life. Come on, somebody. When you are covered in the blood of Jesus, when you've been covered in the blood of Jesus, when God looks at us, he sees his son. In other words, when we have been covered in the blood of Jesus, we took on the characteristics. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus stood in the midst of the Pharisees, if Jesus stood in the midst of the temple and told them what it was, that this is a house of prayer, if Jesus did it, he said, man, you as my disciples can do the exact same thing if you believe it. If, put the if in there, you believe it. Say, no man can take my life except I lay it down. So when God gets ready for me to leave here, that's when I'm leaving. Because I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. Because I'm working the word of God, I'm seeing the results of God. I'm seeing the results of that word. And our faith is increasing because based off of those results, you build confidence. You get confidence in the word of God when you see results. Even when it seems like it ain't working. But you don't have faith for the you don't put your faith in the thought of it not working. You put your faith in what he said.
And that's it. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. That's what he told them, Joker. He told all of them, we in this boat. Let's go to the other side. On this lake. And a little storm come. Jesus had already said what it was. And immediately Satan is always trying to come and second guess and make you think something else.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what how he went to Eve. Are you sure? Surely.
So he won't die.
Surely.
Mm-hmm.
Your God ain't finna take you out. But if God said if you eat of this, you will die. So why do I need somebody to come in and try to have me think outside of what I know is to be true? So obviously I must not believe that it's true. So you need to check yourself, literally, before you wreck it. Some of us ain't got out the hole because you ain't got your faith in the right things. The right one. You got your faith in action plans that have been passed down from centuries. Yeah, that work, but it's limited. God, do you not know God wants to exceed your expectation? Do you not know that the Lord wants you to depend on him fully? Do you not know that? Surely you don't think Jesus came here and was broke? The Son of God walked the earth broke, the devil is alive. But see, you have to talk about it because God always made sure he was provided for. God always sent people to give.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to the past. If God has placed you over these people and God has called you to do this particular thing, man, what are you around here campaigning for? Don't nobody care about you. Quit making yourself feel like you important. People living their own lives. But people should be caring about pleasing God. That's what really take us over. When we really focus on caring about the things of God, caring about what it is God wants done and how he wants us to do it, nobody cares about how you feel. I know my back hurts daily. If I tell people, all hey, my back hurt. So it ain't finna remove the pain. Whether they cared or not, it ain't finna change nothing. So nobody cares. Ain't nothing they can do about it. You could pray, and I'm not saying like nobody like don't care about you. I'm just saying like when you try to walk arrogantly and prideful and make yourself seem to be more than who you are, man, I don't know if I care about you like that, for real. And I'm sick of it, man. I'm so sick of looking at these jokers online. I'm sick of, and I pray for them. And I pray for the people that's under them as well. I got people back from my home city. Same way. Family members, same way. Yeah, I love them. I love them with the love of the Lord. But me, I'm considered an outcast, honestly. People say they love me. But see, I know who love me because they show it. For God so loved, he what? Gave. I know you love me because giving is involved. Thank God for this word. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your plan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your will being done in and through our lives. Father, I pray that as we begin to minister and pray over people tonight,
that you open their eyes to see you like never before, and that they would begin to thirst after you like never before, and that their faith would be increased so that their fruit can be much, so that they can walk in the holy boldness, the fearlessness, and full trust in you. What a place to be in, to know that you're protected by the one that created all. And you know it. You can see it. And you're hearing all this jibber-jabber going on around you of blind people talking. Just imagine a group. Now, this is no knock on people that have the that are physically like blind. I'm not saying it. I'm just using this as an analogy. But you just imagine a room full of blind people walking around. I'm talking about crowded now. Because you've seen, many of us probably already know how blind people, you know, move. Like, you really got to be careful in your stuff because you can't see. There's a lot of bumping, you know, a lot of, you know, slow. That's how it is spiritually with a lot of people. And you as a believer should be leading the blind, not allowing them to lead you. We should be leading people out of this world because they blind. Not them leading us into it to where we got to. Imagine burning your eyes out to join the blind. You got two perfectly good working eyes. And you said, no, I want to be like them. And you burn your eyes out and you go be blind. That's how a lot of us are that have succumbed to the ways of this world that were somewhat on the right path at one particular time. But I just pray that the Spirit of God really moves and is elevated during this season, that people be delivered by a touch, by a word, by a wind, by a thought, that they come out, that their eyes will be open and the scales fall off so that they can meet Jesus and be with him for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you got anything? No. Okay. I'm just asking.
The only thing I got was I was reading Genesis 12 where, let me go there real quick. I said no, but I mean yes.
All right.
Genesis 12, verse 1. I'm reading it Amplified. It says, "Now in Haran, the Lord had said to Abram, go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you abundantly and make your name great, exalted, distinguished, and you shall be a blessing, a source of great good to others. And I will bless, do good for benefit those who bless you, and I will curse, that is subject to my wrath and judgment, the one who curses, despises, dishonors, has contempt for you.
Mm-hmm.
And in you, all the families, nations of the earth will be blessed." See, this is what, when God calls us to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what he called Abraham to do,
mm-hmm.
who was Abram at the time, was to go where he told him to go. Mm-hmm. And he let him know, like, basically, this is the benefits that come along with you being obedient. And mm-hmm. then for those who try to get in your way, this is what's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to worry about that. I got you. I'm going to bless the people who are helpful to you. Bless you. I'm going to bless them. And the people who curse you, I'm going to curse them.
Mm-hmm.
They got to deal with me.
They got to deal with me.
And this is what we have to know in our walk with God. Like you said, we got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bound because God is going to bless those who bless me and curse those who curse me, period.
Right.
And we have to just have a boldness to do the work and to do the call that God has on our life. Because like you said, if it's my time to go, that's just my time. You didn't take my life.
You ain't did a thing.
So if I go, it's because that was God's will to go. He just used your hand to do it.
Man, so what's up?
And then because you had evil intention, God going to come after you. So I ain't even concerned about that. Because I know that if I'm obedient, I know that I'm going to be a blessing in my obedience to others. I know I'm going to be blessed as an act of my obedience. And those who are for me and stand with me, who are standing with the will of God for my life, he's going to bless them people. And those who try to come against the will of God in my life, he's going to curse those people.
Mm-hmm.
What more do you need?
Come on. You got to have faith.
What more do you need? He's telling you through his word how he rolls,
mm-hmm.
right? Because some people don't know how God operates. Read his word. You see how he operates in his word.
Mm-hmm.
He's no respecter of person.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do the same thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. I've seen where I've been on jobs. Was it a long-term thing for the job? Was I supposed to be there forever? No. Because we have seasons, right? Our steps are ordered by the Lord. So there were seasons where I was supposed to be at a particular job. And then had where somebody tried to come against me
mm-hmm.
with that job. I didn't worry about it. I didn't lose no sleep. I took it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who was, you know, had ill intentions, God took care of them every time.
Mm-hmm.
I literally would not have to do anything. I mean, I remember at a job, the job I got laid off from that I told you guys about, I absolutely hated that job. And I used to use the whole time that I used to drive to work to gripe and complain, like, Lord, surely you didn't die on the cross for me to work at this job because it sucks. But he kept telling me, no, I want you here, you know, just wait. That was kept saying, wait. You know, Randy recently told a word about that. Man, it resonated in me because I'm like, that's the same thing. He'd be like, wait. I'm like, but it sucks here. I don't want to be here. And wait. So, anywho, I hated the job. I didn't want to be there, but I was obedient. And I remember on an off day, a manager risked her whole job to tell me that another manager, who was my direct supervisor,
mm-hmm.
was going around disparaging my name and doing all this stuff and all that. And I was like, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time and actually risking your, you know, you didn't know how I was going to take that news.
Mm-hmm.
I could have took it and went straight to HR and said, hey, this person called me and said this, that, and the other. But I said, you know, I appreciate you telling me that. I said, but I'm not concerned about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I already knew what she was doing. I took it to the Lord. He said he'll deal with her. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who came after me, they ended up trying to come after her for something completely unrelated because they never knew about the conversation that took place between us. And I watched God protect her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if, even if you're in a short-term situation where you are supposed to be and when you're walking with the Lord, he's going to protect you. And those who come against you, woe to them.
Whoa.
You know, it's almost like you want to tell them, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Oh, who are you supposed to be, some tough guy? I'm not a tough guy, but I serve a tough Lord. So you might want to reconsider and check yourself. Why are you trying to come against me, dude? Is it an ego thing? Is it a clash of personality? Like, you better be, you know, if you want to dislike me, that's fine. Like, I don't care about that. But you coming and trying to curse the blessing that God gave me and the walk that I'm on, you might not want to do that.
Mm-mm.
And I'm saying that out of love for you because I don't want you to be facing the wrath of God.
Mm-mm.
You know, I don't want it.
No.
I've dealt with it in small ways and it had a big impact.
Right.
And I told y'all before when I dealt with that, when God was dealing with somebody else that I was dealing with and told me to get away from them because he was about to pour on them to try to get them to turn things around. He said, and it's going to be an overflow of pour and it's going to splash on you if you're around. And here I was sticking around.
Right.
And he told me, don't give them no money. Don't do this because I'm basically going to curse their finances.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give them no money. And here they came asking me for money. And hear me, big old bleeding heart, gave them some and cursed mm-hmm. my own finances. I know how it feels when God is dealing with somebody. And this wasn't even meant for me. And
mm-hmm.
I felt the burning effects. I told you the best way I could describe it is like if my money was in a vault as cash and somebody opened the door and let all the money eat moths in. That's how it felt. I couldn't keep a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dollar would get in my hand and evaporate immediately. It would disintegrate, blow off into the wind. And this wasn't even for me.
Right.
This was because of me being obedient about if God was dealing with somebody else. So I for sure don't want to be on that receiving end when it is actually for me.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I don't know what more it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Got have faith, fast forward if you need to. Do what you got to do because we're in a time where we have got to be in the position that God designed for us to be in. We got to, like, man our post.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Say what needs to be said.
Because
all this madness in the world, like having a conversation with somebody and they're talking about a transgender woman and I say that's, you know, it's a sir.
Right.
And they look, she relates. No, that's a man.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to lie for you.
Right. If that's what you want to identify as, that is your prerogative to identify as. But I don't have to be sucked into the delusion.
No.
Because at the beginning and the end of the day, you are a man. And if you were to be DNA tested, the blood is going to tell off. The DNA is going to tell off on what you are. But you can live your life and identify however you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to agree with you. I still love you. Mm-hmm. But love doesn't mean I'm complicit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That means that I love you as a human being.
Right.
And just because I love you doesn't mean that I'm in agreement with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I love you doesn't mean I have to accept the things that you do. I accept that that's your choice. That's what I accept, that you chose it. But I don't accept the choice that you made, but I accept that is your choice and love you regardless. But we have to be standing up and letting people know that, because I had a conversation with the person about that, about they asked me my stance on certain things, and I said, you know, I said just that. You know, I love people no matter what lifestyle they're choosing to indulge in. That doesn't mean I love their lifestyle. I love
right.
them.
Right.
But I'm not going to say, yes, it's okay if God says it's not okay. I don't have that type of power and authority to override God. Who am I to override what God says? Well, they're not hurting anybody. They're hurting God. You're right. They're not hurting anybody. They're hurting God. And that's what matters, because he is the one, the creator of all things. He dictates what is right and what is wrong. He has the power to throw your soul into hell. He died on the cross for you. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody did not die on the cross for you. So if he says it's wrong and it hurts him, then that's all that matters. You ain't got to hurt me.
Right.
Well, it's not hurting Tanisha, so it doesn't matter. Well, if it's hurting God, it does matter. So, but we have to be having these conversations, and we have to be standing up and not trying to be tolerant of everything.
Yeah, man.
That tolerance is for the birds, and it's not of God. It's cowardly. And when you study the scripture, for the Lord hath not given us a spirit of fear. Let's read it real quick, because I feel that in my spirit. We're going to go there tonight. I know the time is winding down, but we always let the Lord lead us, because he's going to give us what we need, not what we want. Come on, the Lord does the needful.
Okay.
Okay, so let me find that scripture. Okay, so that is 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's go there quickly. Come on. There we go. I'm reading this out of the Amplified because it breaks it down. For those who don't know, let me get a sip of water first so I don't cough my way through it.
Second Timothy
1:7.
2 Timothy 1:7.
Okay, so let's go there. It says, I lost my place just that bad. For the Lord did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. So cowardness is something that's not from the Lord. A lot of times people ain't speaking up in the name of tolerance. You not being tolerant, you're a coward.
Period.
And that's not of the Lord, because he hasn't given us that. When you break down the Amplified, it breaks down it translates it in the different meanings of each word. So it's not that he just didn't give us a spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit of cowardice or timidity.
Mm-hmm.
To be timid.
Oh, so scary. Timid.
That ain't of the Lord.
Mm-mm.
And nobody's telling you to be just walking around barking orders and being mean and all that kind of stuff. That's not what the opposite of being timid. The opposite is boldness.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a very gentle person and still bold in your beliefs and bold in your faith and bold in your words.
Mm-hmm.
All that timidness, that ain't from the Lord. Cowardice, that ain't from the Lord. And neither is that fear. That spirit, right? Spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity or cowardice. But he's giving you a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So as believers, we need to stand our post and we need to be bold. You don't have to be offensive. I wasn't offensive when I had the conversation with the person about the transgender female being a man. That's the truth. I acknowledge that's what they identify as.
Right.
I acknowledge that that's the lifestyle that they chose to live, and I accept that that's the lifestyle that they choose to live. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be praying against it.
Right.
And praying that they come into the knowledge of Christ, because Christ has a plan for their life. And that serving God, even if you do have those natural feelings, right? People feel that's a natural feeling. Maybe you do feel like that natural. I don't know, because I'm not in that position. But even if you do, the power, when you link up with Christ, the power to serve Christ will supersede that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I naturally want to slap people, but I don't, because I know it's not pleasing to God. Right. So I don't get to say, well, I can just go around slapping people because it comes natural. Mm-hmm. No. I can't just indulge in alcoholism because it runs in my family. No, I don't drink at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even tempted to fall into that trap, because, I mean, it runs generations deep in my family. So I don't even go there with any alcohol. But because I have a natural inclination for it, doesn't make it right.
Mm-hmm.
My love of God will supersedes that. So, again, we need to be not timid. We need to be bold. We don't need to be cowards. Right? We need to have courage.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to be having fear. We need to have faith.
Come on.
But we need to be manning our post, and we need to be doing what God tells us to do, and quit worrying about stuff and quit being concerned. When he told Abraham to follow him, he told him to just follow him. Abraham did just what he told him to do. And God, what he promised Abraham was going to happen as a result, happened as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Because even we know that the story when Abraham, a little bit after he, hold on, let's go there real quick. I guess that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go there. Genesis 12. Right? Hold on. Why am I scrolling around looking for Genesis like it ain't the first book?
That's what you be doing. You're a scroll. You're a scroll. You be scrolling.
Genesis 12, verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to live temporarily, for the famine in the land was oppressive and severe.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, that's Sarah, for those who don't know, listen, I know that you are a beautiful woman. So when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me to acquire you, but they will let you live. Please tell them that you are my sister, so that things will go well for me for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. And when Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was very beautiful. Pharaoh's princes officials also saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken for the purpose of marriage into Pharaoh's house, his harem. Therefore, Pharaoh treated Abram well for her sake. He acquired sheep, oxen, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord, listen to this, verse 17, but the Lord punished Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her as my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him on his way with his wife and all that he had. See, this proves, God has already proven right here, that even though they wasn't even trying to curse Abraham by trying to have his wife commit an adultery,
right,
God dealt with them. So even the promise that I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, we see it live and in living color here when a situation that, I mean, Pharaoh was tricked into the situation. And even though he was tricked into the situation by Abraham, he still had curse come on him, because he was getting in the way of he was cursing, trying to curse that man's wife by trying to take her as his wife. So if God is telling you to do something, just do it, and don't worry about who tries to get in your way or what's going to pop up and all that. God is going to take care of that, period.
That goes back to those pastors,
mm-hmm,
that try to fix things up to attract those out of the world in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, putting on these gimmicks to fatten up memberships and stuff, and people are coming sincerely. But they're not coming because they were assigned there.
Right.
They were basically tricked.
They're coming to be entertained.
That's it. You're being tricked.
As a pastor, I get some pastors are really into numbers. A lot of people are into numbers and algorithms and statistics and data and analytics and all that kind of stuff. That stuff's cool, but it's not what we should be basing membership of a church on. it sounds good to say, oh, we had 50,000 people give their heart to the, you know, Jesus. You don't know if they
You don't know that.
Them people signed a card so they can get a free Bible and a handshake. You don't know what them folks done did. But a lot of these pastors I notice now are doing things, like you said, to attract the world into the church. But if the attraction is not Christ, it's not going to even last.
Mm-hmm.
If they're attracted because you put on a good show and you've got these lights, lasers, and beams, and you're doing all these theatrics on stage and all that kind of stuff, they're going to be entertained and then saying, oh, well, I'm a believer, I'm a true Christian. But then the minute all that stuff is taken away, all the bells and the whistles
mm-hmm.
and the hoopla and all that's gone, then they're going to be like, oh, I don't want to be here. Because people, the itchy ears,
mm-hmm.
you're that's all you're doing. You're catering to itchy ears. People who just want to hear something fun and cool. They want to be, they want to have fun because we live in a world that loves to be entertained. And now these pastors are trying to do the same thing by trying to entertain them into the church. And you ain't there for your entertainment. You there for your salvation. You there for your direction. You there to be sharpened. You there to be delivered. Come on. You there to be guided. You there to be loved on. You're there to be told the truth so that you could be made free. You're there to be introduced to Christ. You're there to build your relationship. You're not there to be entertained. That's none of the reasons. There's a lot of reasons. None of them are to be entertained. But you got a lot of these pastors that are trying to entertain people into to Christ, and you cannot entertain a person into faith because now they're just looking to how it's a feeling thing. Oh, I just want to feel a certain way because people like entertainment because the way it makes them feel. They like it. It feels humorous or it scares them or whatever the case may be, but it comes from a human realm. It's not from a spirit realm. So the minute those pastors now start talking about some real issues about sin and all that kind of stuff, now their membership, half their membership gone because that don't feel good. It felt good when you was being shot out of cannons and all this kind of stuff, and that was funny. And now I could lie to myself and say, see, I go to church, but really you going to a show, right? You're going to a circus that's got a cross on top. Really, you're going to a feel-good seminar, right? A motivational speech seminar. Because people go to motivational seminars because it makes them feel good. They don't want to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel good. They want you to make excuses for their bad decisions and their bad behaviors instead of making them accountable for them so that they don't continue to do it. They don't want to think.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be patted on the back and attaboyed. So these pastors, we got to be praying for them. That what is your motive to get these people? Are you trying to just look like you got a big old church, or do you want the people that God has assigned to you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if God assigned me 3 people to listen to tonight. That's the 3 people that needed to hear just that. I got something for them. And these pastors got to take the same type of role, and you need to take the same type of role because you're called for people. So don't think it's about the numbers. It's about what's for you. It's
mm-hmm.
about quality, not quantity. Well, God called me to do this, and now I want to get my Instagram followers up to 1 million people so I can reach 1 million people. Well, maybe your reach is for 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
200 people who will sincerely listen to you and consider the things that you say, who are drawn to you, and now you got all these other people just hanging around causing chaos in your comments. Just do what God is telling you to do. Don't try to be extra.
Mm-hmm. Stay in your lane.
Just stay in your lane.
Know what your lane is.
That's the first thing first is know what your lane is
mm-hmm.
and ask the Lord, where do you want me to be? Just like I did with that job when I was, I mean, I'm sitting there trying to tell him that he didn't die on the cross for me to be at that job. And he's like,
mm-hmm.
I did. There's something here for you. Just wait.
Gotta take care of it.
And so I always made sure that I was just where I needed to be. And my feelings had nothing to do. Who cares? I tell you, so who, don't nobody care about that?
Mm-hmm. Nobody.
That didn't matter at all. That didn't amount to nothing. My feelings come out of the situation. It was my obedience to the situation and being where I needed to be. And then at the time that God assigned, and people think they laid me off, but God freed me up, period. So that's the word. We only got 3 minutes. So I'm just going to pray over area codes and prefix. I'm not going to unmute. First is 954580. Lord, we just thank you for 954580. We thank you for the message tonight, really piercing their spirit of just being in position to do what you have called for them to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you are aligning things to where they are in position, because sometimes we want to be in position, but we've kind of gotten a little bit out of position. And so God will, the minute we make the decision that we want to be in position, things start to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that, things aligning for you to be where God has called for you to be. So I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 610969. Lord, we thank you for 610969 for the clarity. The clarity. It's like it's like I see a shofar being blown, and the clarity. Don't you start, Terrence, about to go get his shofar. I'm telling you, sound like screeching tires. But I see it's like I see a shofar being blown and the clarity coming to you. Like things being very, very clear, things that were muddy, clearing it out in your mind so that you know what you're dealing with, so that you know what to do, so that you know what moves to make, so that you have conversations with yourself about yourself, conversations with yourself about situations, like things just being very clear. And that's a good place to be when things are clear. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 504-282. Lord, thank you for 504-282. I just thank you, Father God, for them really seeing how you work for your people. Like how the word of God says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Study that scripture, like study the breakdown of it, because you're going to see how God works for you, right? Because we work for God, right? We're here to be servants of God, but he works for us too. And you're going to really see how God works for his people, how God works for you and how God works for his people. And it's going to just have your faith go through the roof. So Lord, we thank you for that, for working for them, Father God, and showing them how you work for people in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 734-672. Lord, we just thank you for 734-672 for putting together the pieces, putting together the pieces. Sometimes things feel broken and we don't know how to fix it, right? And I see God putting something back together, like taking all the little pieces and putting it back together. I once saw a movie. And a lady was saying how her heart was broken and she felt like a sledgehammer hit it and all the little pieces fell apart. And then the main character, I think it's a movie called Joshua, he said God will take the pieces and make something new out of the pieces, something new and beautiful. But that's what I see, like God taking something that has seemingly broken, right, broken and fallen apart and putting it back together, making it something new and beautiful. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. It's like the beauty for ashes concept. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 251-229. Lord, we thank you for 251-229 for just favor following, like a shadow where there's a sun. Sun is always going to cast a shadow. And I see favor following you like a shadow. Because as long as you are in the sun, right, the S-O-N, you have the favor. So it's there. It's there, like right behind you, you know, so you don't have to worry about when people don't show you favor because God will always show you favor. Mm-hmm. So you're going to really see that where you ain't concerned about what people think or what they're trying to do or not do because the favor, you came with the favor, right? You don't come looking for the favor. You came with it. You brought it. So now it's going to start to do what it does because favor has a job to do. And so even if all the people don't want to give you favor or try to stop you because you already brought favor with you, the favor is going to do a work. You're going to see it. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 602-823 is next. Lord, we thank you for 602-823. Thank you for things falling into place. Sometimes things get a little bit out of alignment. And it's just like with your back, you go to a chiropractor, right? And they do what's called an adjustment, and it helps things to get back in place. And I see God doctoring on your life and putting things back in the place that may have shifted, right? Because even like out here in Texas, we have really bad soil. So in the wintertime, our house shifts and like you can see like cracks through our floors and cracks in our, you know, our drywall and stuff when by our windows because the house shifts. And then by like spring, like literally it's like the stuff disappears because it aligns back. It gets back into place. And I see God doing that with your life though. So areas of your life that may have gotten a little off, right? A little off. So you, like even when a house out here it gets a little off, you see cracks. If you didn't see the cracks, you wouldn't even know. But it gets a little off. But it doesn't matter if it's a little bit tiny smidge, off is off. But God's going to put it back into place. So thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 870415. Let us thank you for the 870415 for the crying out. I see you really crying out to the Lord. Like you're just, it's like you're like something's got to give, right? And I've been there. Where you're like, man, something's gonna have to change. Like, I need a break. I need something to like a breakthrough. I need something, and I see you getting that. Like, something's about to change drastically for the good. Okay, let's clarify that. Really something for the good. And you're going to get that break that you really have been believing for and that you have been hoping for and that you've been, you know, it's like you know it's coming, and God is just confirming that you're on the right path. Yeah, you're about to get a break, like a serious break. So, Lord, we thank you for that break. We thank you for the holding on to their faith in you and not relying on people, but relying on you. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That's everybody who had their hand up. Thank you for tuning in tonight.
Thank you.
We love you all. Be sure to call back.
Absolutely.
In about at 8:45. It's 8:32 right now. Call back at 8:45 to Randy's show. On Wednesdays, he typically gives a message and then prays over everybody who has their hand up. So make sure you hit one when you call back so that you're in the queue. Randy's call-in number is 319-527-6737. Until next time, we love you all.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.